You know, I noticed that when Brother Sam said 30 minutes, he looked right over to me. So I will say, he said something an hour, and he looked at Brother Michael, and he said some 30 minutes, and he looked at me. So I felt that. I mean, I knew what he was going to. And he must have been thinking about me on a good night when I really preached a long time for that 30 minutes. So I assure you, I've never been one that worried about the clock either. Mine just happens not to go longer, just go shorter. But I do have a few thoughts, and I just pray that the Lord would bless it. But I've been here before, and one of my favorite, I've preached this before here, one of my favorite subjects is in Luke 11. After the Lord's Prayer, the Lord teaches about importunity. The persistence to the point of annoyance. And that is a great teaching. He tells them over there in Luke 11, they're wanting to get bread, and he says, I say unto you, though he will not raise and give him, this is Luke 11:8, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The friend's out there knocking on the door and not stopping until he gets the bread that he needs for the ones that have come visiting him. And so he's not stopping. And in my mindset, that's how I am that person. You know, this week we've been dealing with a car situation with a mechanic that still has a car over a month, can't get a hold of him, and 170 calls I made because I couldn't put the phone down because I had to keep calling. I had to keep calling it because I felt like if I wasn't calling it, I wasn't doing anything. I had persistence. But the Lord doesn't just teach us and says, be persistent. He teaches us to have patience. And patience is very hard. Patience is something that you can dial a number as many 170 times and be fine. But patience is to sit back and to wait and say, the Lord's going to bless us through this. I don't know how we're getting the car back. I'm not sure what's going to happen, but not to stress out about it. Not to worry about it. Not to put more effort into worrying about that than I do into the studying of the Word of God. Not to put more effort in that than I do for praying for the church. But I can find myself getting to remembering the aspect of importunity and that persistence, but so often do I forget the patience. But the Lord, He teaches both. And when He does that, I was thinking this week, and my mind went to ones that had to be patient for so long. When you go back in the Old Testament, you think about Genesis, and you go over there in Genesis 15. God's going to make a covenant with Abraham. And he's going to tell him that he's going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham in verse 1 says, and it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceedingly great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of the house is Eleazar of Damascus. He says, Lord, I don't think you really understand what's going on here. I have no children. How often do we tell the Lord we're not sure He quite gets what's going on in our lives? Like we know more than what He does. When the Lord blesses you to have an understanding of something, you're like, Lord, listen. You know, I start with no offense, but I think you missed a point. I think you missed something here. Abraham's like, I don't know what you think we're going to do. I have no children. The Lord didn't bless him to have children immediately. We'll find out it was like 13 years later that he's going to have his child with Sarah, the one that he's promising. But the thing that happens in the next chapter is something that is so easily to be able to fall into. We get in our minds that we can help out God. That we can somehow, He needs our help to be able to deliver us through what we're going through. So he has promised Abraham that he's going to have a nation. He's going to be a father of a nation. And they're going to be more than the sands of the sea, stars of the sky. It's going to be a great nation. Abraham says, I can't because I have no children. This isn't going to work. Sarah's involved in it. And Sarah says, I've got an idea. I've got a plan to help God out, to try to put it together that we can make this work out. I'm going to give you my handmaid. So often it's easy to read in Scripture, in the Old Testament, New Testament, you read something, you say, I would never do that. I wouldn't do something like that. I wouldn't. But if you put it in, you stop and you think about your life on how many times that you've tried to help the Lord, just think about it when it comes to the church. How many different churches are there? How many different churches are there that we try to help the Lord to bring in people? Now what do we got? We got different instruments, different beliefs. They tried to help the Lord. We know that it's the Lord that gives the increase. But someone had an idea. When we get our own ideas, it should be something that we should be scared about. We should pause and we should stop and say, let me figure this out. I had a plan this week on Friday when I went up to that mechanic. When I got there and I saw he wasn't there, I called my brother-in-law who's a lawyer and I said, I need you to get on the phone and I need you to sound very lawyerly. And I don't even know if that's a word, but I said, I need you to be that. And I need you to scare him. He said later that when I finally got a hold of him, when he talked to me, he said, I don't have to sound like that. I am that. I am a lawyer. I said, yes, but I just wanted to emphasize it. But I had a plan. This is what I was going to do. Nowhere did it stop until I was later in the day when I said, you know, I'm just going to stop and pray that the Lord would bless me to have patience and trust in him that it'll all work out. I had taken the Lord completely out of it because I thought I needed to handle it right here and right now on my own. Why? Because it was a worldly problem. It was about a car. The Lord cares about his children. He cares about their problems. He cares about you having a problem with your car. You say, well, it's just a car. It is. But when any of my three boys have a problem, it can be the craziest things, and I wouldn't have it bother me at all. But if it bothers them, it bothers me. And I want to know what I can do to fix it. What can I do to take care of their pain? What can I do to make it so they don't go through it? If I, a faulty person like me, will have that mindset, what do you think the Lord has for us?
Amen.
That's what he's teaching us. But Sarah had an idea. Is there water down here, Brother Shane?
How much?
There's a bottle right there.
They're empty.
They're empty.
Sorry. I'm sorry. But she had the idea. Her idea didn't amount to where it was going to happen automatically. It added confusion. When we try to start thinking for God and not just waiting on him, we can add to the confusion. I want things to happen in light speed time. I want it to happen right now. This fast, I want to be like where I can be the woman that is going through the crowd and touches the hem of the garment and is immediately healed. I want it to be that fast. I don't want there to be any time between. I want it to be immediately. I want to be the leper that walks up to Christ and he touches and the leprosy is gone. But in Romans 5, we learn that through tribulations, we have patience and patience experience and experience hope. It's amazing because this week was probably the first time, and it's all revolving around a car, that I got it. That I was able to step back and say, okay, through this trial of not being able to get our car back, I got to see, okay, I've gained some patience. It was all because of the Lord. And I felt like the next time a trial comes, I'm hoping, praying that I'll be able to have that kind of patience to know. Why does that come? Because I went through something like it before. Whenever we battle something in our lives, we take from it. So when we come to the next battle, we come to the next trial, we say, you know, we made it through that one. How did we make it through that one? Because the Lord delivered us through it. So who do you need to look to? We need to look to the Lord. If you've got a person that's guided you all the time and they've guided you time and time again on a path and they've gotten you where you need to go and now you've got to go somewhere else, who do you want to go get? You want to get the guy that got you there before. That's what the Lord is. He's our guide. The Lord is the one that goes in front of us. And you say, well, waiting, still, patience is hard. And not everything seems to make sense worldly. And when things don't make sense worldly, it's so easy for us to get in our minds that we don't need to be praying or we don't need to be patient because we know what it means. The Lord can make numbers lie. In our office, we have a spot where it's got every number you could ever dream of. It's recorded. Because numbers don't lie in our world. If you can tell when June was better than July, you can tell when April was 2018 was this bad or this good. It does not lie. I can tell you how many extra tires we sold on this and why was there an upsurge and what did we do different. Everything comes together so you can see it. But when it comes to the Lord, the numbers can lie. Our oldest son, the numbers said he had this much chance to make it. And I remember them saying, and if he does, he's not going to be normal. He's going to have major issues about it. He's going to have glasses this thick. He won't be able to see right. He's going to have problems. I was too naive to understand what they were telling me because I was so young. And I was like, no, it's okay. It's no big deal. I mean, fine, whatever. But if you read all those numbers and you would trust in those numbers, it would have scared you. But if you had trust in the Lord, knowing that He can outdo any number that has gone before you, you can have peace. Amen. And you can be patient on what's going on ahead of you. It was a long 3.5 months up there in the hospital. But I felt like we gained so much perspective from it. When they came and they told me, okay, you're going to have heart surgery. I said, okay, when are we going? Tomorrow? What can we do? Can we get it done? I'm sitting there, I've already made the decision, let's do it. I've picked out the valve, I've done everything I can. And I look over and Laura's still got her jaw hanging down, kind of wondering what exactly is going on. But experience that I trust in the Lord, He's going to make it through it. We're going to be okay. I think about Gabriel, and I just get a lump in my throat. Not because I'm worried that the Lord's not going to deliver him through it, but I understand what he's going to be going through, but I thank the Lord that he's put us in spots that he sees and he's blessed us to know, okay, I know somebody's gone through it. You know, if you know someone that's made it through it and the Lord has blessed you through it, you can handle things a lot better. You can see it. Caleb and Amanda saw me at my worst when I come out of that. So they maybe have an idea to say, I know what it might look like. Now it's going to be, it'd probably be even harder because it's their son, but they've seen it through it. They've been right there firsthand. The Lord blesses us to be able to make it through it. But he doesn't say, I'm going to do it right this minute. He says, now you need to be persistent in your prayer, but he didn't say, I'm going to answer it immediately. Knock and it shall be opened, ask and you shall receive. He didn't say how many times you have to ask. He didn't say how many times you have to knock. But he will bless them. He promised to answer our prayers. So over here, when nature doesn't make sense, over here in Luke 1, Zacharias and Elizabeth, they're well stricken in years. She's barren. And they should not be able to have children. And in Luke 1 and 13, it says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and shall call his name John. So what it tells you is, Zacharias has been praying. He's been praying for a son, even though naturally speaking, why would you pray for it? You're well stricken in years, she's barren, why would you take the time to pray for it? Because we don't know what's in store with God. We don't know if that's what we want. We pray that it be the will of God. We ask that it be of Him, that He would lead us. And if you pray continually, and you have your, I don't know if importunity is a word, but you have that amongst you, and then it never comes to pass, you can have peace that you continue to pray. But when you give up, and you stop, and there comes a point in time where you're like, well, it never came, you can start doubting yourself, did I pray enough? But if you continue to pray, this man was praying, and when he was praying, they should not have been able to have children. An angel of the Lord comes to him, he says, fear not. What a powerful statement. When the Lord comes to you and says, fear not, everything else should be just gravy after that. Fear not.
Amen.
Fear not. You're good. Yeah. Fear not. I've got you. It's taken care of. Fear not that you're going to have a child. Your mind might say, well, how is this going to be possible? She's barren. I'm old. You start debating with God. We don't need to debate with God when He's blessed us to know that I don't have to fear it, that He's going to get me through it. Then we need to just shut our mouths. We need to stop. Stop debating with Him and start thanking Him. Amen. It hadn't even come yet, but when He declared that she's going to have a child and you're going to name it John, you can just, it's good as done. Just like when He said it is finished, it's as good as done. There's no more that has to be debated. It's over. It's done. There's nothing you have to do to try to get in that finished work. It's finished. So Zacharias had this, he said, fear not, your prayer has been heard, and thou shalt joy and have gladness and shall rejoice at his birth. When we are patient and we are consistent with the Lord, there's great joy that comes with it. There's great rejoicing that comes with it. And we should be thanking God that He's given us the roadmap to know where to go. And He is the guide to take us there. One more spot, go over to, I don't know, go over to Luke 18. No, John, sorry. Let's go over to John 11. John 11. The Lord is sent a message from Martha and Mary, and they said, the one that you love us is sick. The one that you love is sick. You need to come on. They are close enough to the Lord Jesus Christ that they can send messengers to Him and say, hey, my brother who you love, who you're close to, you need to come on because we need you. Did the Lord go immediately? Did the Lord say, okay, I love him and I'm going to come right away? No, the Lord waited two more days. The Lord waited two more days. Me, I would have been sitting there I would have said, messenger, stand right there with him and start dragging him. Start dragging him to come on because I need it for my brother. Well, we have to remember where we started with the Luke 18 with the persistent widow woman and how she kept persisting on that judge. He said, not for a while. He finally gives in to her, not because of God, not because of man. He gives in to her because she wore him down. But he didn't do it right away. Christ sat there for two more days. And then he finally says, okay, let's go. We have to remember that we have to be patient on the Lord. He gets there, and you would think it's over. Lazarus is in the womb, or in the tomb for 4 days. He's dead. It even said he stinketh. There's no more to be done. You can't do any more naturally. Why would we worry about anything else? Will you stop praying that he's going to get better? We don't have to fret about it. We know we're going to see him again. Christ comes and Martha and Mary are there, and he says, he tells them that that he's going to rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she has great faith in Jesus. She knows that there's coming a day that he's going to rise and it's going to be taken care of. Now her brother's gone. She's been through tough times. Christ didn't come right when she asked him to, but he's given her an out. And sometimes the Lord is standing right in front of us and gives us the answer, and we've already had our mind made up and we don't see it. She knows, she's already got it planned out that her brother's going to raise in the last day. But what does the Lord say to her? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He said, I'm the resurrection. I'm standing right in front of you. The thing is sometimes the answer's right in front of us. The Lord's laid it there in front of us, and we just have our own mind on what it's going to be and how it's going to end. That when the Lord does give it to us, we're thinking, well, that's not the way I had it planned out. That's not the way I thought it'd work out, so that can't be it. We need to continue to pray. We need to continue to pray that it be of the Lord's will and on His time. We need to make sure we are consistently persistent. That we are persistent with the Lord and we're patient on Him. That we wait on Him. We have faith in Him that He's going to deliver us. And when He says, fear not, there's probably no one in here that hasn't been in a spot where you've been in a trial or a tribulation coming about you, and you had something go over you, and you just knew that it was all going to be okay. That's when the Lord's talking to us, and He's saying, fear not. He puts that over us. We can feel it. It's everything about us. And we know, and it doesn't make sense. Nothing about it makes sense, because all the numbers say, nope, it shouldn't work out. You should be afraid. It's not going to work out good for you. He says, fear not. Well, you can't have children anymore, naturally speaking, so it's bad. I need to do something. I need to help God. We need to just continue to pray and to be patient and to fear not and wait on our deliverer, our guide, the one that loves us more than anyone else. May the Lord bless you with my prayer.